The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, gender, or body image. These stories are graphic and not safe for work. So thanks for being a consenting adult. And here we go.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this week we have a story from edge play novelist Jane Boone. Do you want to know the best way to make me happy? Talk about butt plugs. I don't know what it is. There's something about, you know, the anus is the great equalizer. There's just something about butt plugs that makes me happy. I'm sitting here, I'm getting ready to order another supply of butt plugs because we're sold out. I love that the first merchandise that Body Storytelling ever had was custom butt plugs with our podcast logo on it. Just makes so much sense, doesn't it? And I have many talented artist friends who've been making art that features me and butt plugs. We have this great new sticker from Mark from Super Genius. He is this gorgeous illustrator, and he did this illustration of me holding up a butt plug. Well, we did a couple of test runs to see what it looked best under, and it looks great as a hologram because the butt plug's all shiny and stainless steel looking just like the real one. So I'm about to order some more stickers. Let me know if you're interested in stickers. We'll probably be selling them on the website sometime soon, or Patreon supporters get them first, of course. Speaking of which, one of the other things that we have on Patreon is the Butt Plug Club. It's a relatively new level that we just created. It's hashtag BPC. That could be paperweight, right? So we don't want to get in any trouble. But we're creating stickers. We're ordering new butt plugs. I'm sitting here just playing with all these things on my desk. My desk is covered with cartoons of me playing with butt plugs, with custom butt plugs, with little butt plug cozies so that they don't roll off the desk. We also have these new acrylic pins, and they say Body Storytelling Butt Plug Club with this little illustration of a butt plug. I fucking love these things. And so we're ordering some more so that we can send some out to the Butt Plug Club soon. It's a really new thing, but you know me. I'm going to have a meeting with you. We're all going to get together wherever we are in the world. We're going to put our butt plugs in. We're going to put our earbuds in. We're going to sit and have a chat. We're going to practice stories. We're going to talk about our experiences. That just makes me so happy that I can connect with people who love and listen to the show. So right now, I'm working on new stuff because people have been asking for things like stickers and pins and all of that. And it's so much fun knowing that this huge box is going to show up at my house soon and the mailman is going to bitch at me and he's going to go, damn, this thing is heavy. And I'm going to go, you know what's in here, don't you? It's full of butt plugs. I did that with a UPS guy one time, and he was in such shock. He could not believe it was true. So I took a box cutter. I opened the box. In this case, the box was full of hundreds and hundreds of vibrators. And his jaw hit the floor. And I said, I'm so sorry, this box was so heavy. And I gave him this really expensive vibrator. He never complained again about having to deliver a heavy package to my house because he knew what kind of person I was. Everybody likes it when you're that kind of person. I encourage you to let the world know who you are. Let your freak flag fly. I have the best interactions and make new friends so easily if I just say, this is it, you guys. This is who I am. I order custom butt plugs. I like stickers. I like cartoons. I like to be art, especially if it's me interacting with a butt plug. So Yeah. Great day. It's made the week so much better. I hope your week's looking up because we've got a great story for you on this episode. And it's coming up soon on the podcast. What's better than a toe-curling, eyes-in-the-back-of-your-head orgasm? Well, nothing. Did you know that Kegel exercises have been scientifically proven to strengthen orgasms? If you're a vulva owner who wants stronger orgasms, Intensity by Poor Ma helps to strengthen your orgasms by exercising your pelvic floor muscles. Intensity by Poor Ma gives you the strength you need, and that strength can enhance sensation during sex too. Intensity is a device that every cisgendered woman needs. It's a sexual health and stimulation device that combines pelvic floor health and with both internal and external vibration, delivers a powerful orgasm. A lot of people might be tempted to call it a vibrator, but it's actually much, much more than that. It tightens and tones your pelvic floor muscles and your vagina. Intensity is like a trip to the gym for your pelvic floor. Most people know that Kegel exercises are important, but Intensity does you even better by automatically exercising the muscles of the pelvic floor for you. The natural process of childbirth, aging, and high-impact exercises can take a toll on the health of the muscles that surround the vagina, causing them to stretch and lose tone and tightness over time. You can naturally rejuvenate the vagina by tightening and toning the pelvic floor muscles for more intense orgasms. Intensity lets you balance feeling good with working hard. Not only will Intensity teach you how a properly performed Kegel feels, it also has that vibrating component for your pleasure. And right now, Poor Ma is offering Body Storytelling Podcast listeners $25 off of the Intensity when you go to poormoi.com and enter code DIXIE at checkout. That's $25 off on top of any other ongoing promotions when you go to poormoi.com and use the promo code Dixie. Intensity's Poor Ma from In Control Medical. It's the one device that every vulva haver needs. It's Kegels with a kick. You know, I can feel your excitement about a story from over here. So let's talk about this week's storyteller. Jane Boone lives in New York City and Los Angeles with her husband, Norm Perlstein. She studied technology and policy at MIT and later received a PhD in industrial engineering. Jane has written for publications like The Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg Businessweek, Time.com, McSweeney's.net, and TravelandLeisure.com. Jane enjoys improv and playing dress-up, like the time she wore a corset, garters, and thigh-high stockings as a dominatrix in the Fox TV series Gotham. Her new novel, Edge Play, is her first. This storyteller is Jane Boone.
Hi. Thank you for those amazing tips, Dixie. Mine aren't as good, I'm afraid. So I was wearing an open bottom girdle, fishnet stockings, stiletto heels, opera length gloves, and a bustier that barely contained my tits. And I was throwing the silver-haired stranger down onto the ground over and over again in front of a camera. There was a director, a crew, and I grabbed then his hair, and I got to go smile for the camera. And I was trying to look as menacing as possible, but to be honest, I was ecstatic. Because to be honest, I am a career nerd. It started young. In high school, I did math contests. I was an air cadet. I studied engineering in college. I wasn't like Jackie Kilmartin, who was popular. She had boyfriend. She went on dates. She got laid. No, I was the invisible girl in the back of the library with an HP 11C calculator in front of her and a stack of books and an oversized sweater because she felt 20 pounds too heavy. I did not have much fun. I studied hard though, and I got to go to MIT, and I finished grad school, spending a lot of time in library researching. And then I realized I had been fun deprived. It was time to get serious about getting fun into my life. So I had no game. I didn't know how to pick up men or go to a bar, but I knew how to write. So I put an ad in Boston Magazine. And then it was off to the races because I wrote a really good ad and it was lawyers, doctors, and about the seventh guy in was a fellow engineer with a square jaw and short dark hair who looked a lot like Ben Affleck. And around the third date with Ben, we were in the Border Cafe in Harvard Square. He leaned in and he said, "I want to take you shopping." Nobody had ever said that to me before. So I was like, okay. So we walked down to Central Square where there was this gritty store called Hubba Hubba. And the front was all bongs and sex toys. And then in the back, there were a couple racks of clothes. And he grabbed a bunch of dresses and he put me and the dresses in a change room. And I put them on. And each dress was worse than the last. One had like molded cups. Another one had like buckles all over the place. One even had a flounce. I didn't want to come out. I wanted my bulky sweater back. I wanted to be invisible again. The saleswoman, recognizing like, perhaps a loss of commission, found a latex little black dress, very simple. So with some nervousness, I put it on and it sort of squeezed the waist in, it pushed the boobs up, and I was willing to let Ben see that. So I pushed the curtain aside and I went out into the room, and then I felt something I hadn't felt before, which was like the heat of his attention. The saleswoman was sort of nodding. Ben was practically salivating. There were a couple of people buying butt plugs and they were nodding. I got a thumbs up and I'm like, this isn't so bad. So I let Ben buy me that dress, and I gotta say it was stupid expensive. It was like $300-$400, and this was 25 years ago, so it was a lot of money, but it was money well spent by Ben because it became our ticket everywhere. We went to Man Ray, this really kind of gnarly fetish club in Central Square, and all of a sudden we were in the private rooms and being invited to the back secret rooms where really interesting things happened. And where once again, I felt that attention and I was having fun, so much fucking fun. I mean, I couldn't believe how much fun I had, but I quickly discovered that Ben liked the dress more than he liked me. He would have fucked that dress if he could have. In fact, he kind of did. One advantage of latex, cum comes off it really easy. All it takes is a little soap and water. So I got rid of Ben, but I kept the dress. I was feeling bold and hot and ready to go back into those rooms and slay. But I didn't. I had a lot of fun. But then I turned 30 and I went back to school to get my PhD. And I became serious again because it was a lot of research, a lot of studying, a lot of nights with my books. And then I became an expert in reverse logistics, spoke at conferences, enjoyed a different kind of attention. And at a nanotech conference, there was a wavy haired man with round glasses who smiled at me over coffee. And he was self-deprecating, became my husband, Norm. What Norm had, in addition to sort of this quiet demeanor, was a killer job. He was a big deal. He was the editor-in-chief at Time Inc. So he had hundreds of magazines beneath him, thousands of journalists below him on the food chain. And I moved to New York and I became invisible again because I was then the boss's wife. If somebody was looking at me, it was because they were looking for him. And there's some advantages to being a plus one. I got to, you know, go to great events. I got to have swanky dinner parties. I met everybody from Angela Merkel to Angelina Jolie. But after about 10 years of this, it gnawed on me. And I had the idea of revisiting those early years where I was having fun, where I was in those dark secret rooms doing outrageous things and wearing outrageous clothes. And I thought I read about it. So the one advantage of being a PhD is that nobody questions your sincere commitment to research, even if it involves fetish wear. So I like scanned the universe of New York to find out ways I could kind of inhabit this old world. And there was a casting notice for the show Gotham, which is the prequel to Batman. It recently was canceled on Fox and they wanted a dominatrix. And I thought, I could do that. So I applied and I went looking for the latex dress. and learned that latex disintegrates with being wet. It had fallen to pieces. It didn't exist any longer. So I found a couple other pieces in the closet and put them on, took some pictures, and was staggered when I was invited in for an interview. And I go there to the big room where they were holding this and size up the competition. There were four of us. And I realize immediately there's no contest. There's no way they're going to choose me, the woman on the verge of 50, because there was this statuesque 30-something with the slick back hair and the leather corset and thigh-high boots. And it turns out she was a professional dominatrix whose specialty was wrestling. I still think about being pinned by her. And then there were these two 20-somethings in like PVC dresses with gorgeous tits and all leg. And I swear one of them looked like Demi Lovato's hotter younger sister. And I knew she would get the part because that's how Hollywood works, right? Demi Lovato's younger sister would get it. And so the pressure was off me. I could get out my phone, take notes, and revert to my research self and get ready for the next dinner party even, because everybody needs a story. And so we had the opportunity to meet the director and four of us, and he actually solicited our input on what the scene should look like. And I had done what I've always done, which is research. So I was ready. I was like, well, the gentleman's going to be wearing a white t-shirt and white boxer shorts. How about some Japanese-style rope bondage, but make the rope black so it really pops against his skin? And then he's mentioned, how about metal? I'm like, collar or cuffs? I don't think you want to do cuffs because there's the risk of nerve damage if he's going to be experiencing violence. And then it became this conversation between the director and me, who was kind of cute. He looked a bit like Prince Harry. And the two young ones just sat there like gorgeous bobbleheads, nodding the whole time. And of course, Demi was going to get it. So we go back to the room. I put on my bulky sweater and we wait. And what was kind of special about that day is they were also interviewing thugs. So there were like these 10 guys who were each burlier than the next, all Rambo dudes. And they were circling Demi and her twin like sharks circling a baby seal. They were apex predators on the hunt and it was fabulous. And then the production assistant came back. And as I was telling Demi, I was so looking forward to seeing her on TV, because of course she's in it. They announced that I had been chosen. And I must confess, I was staggered, because how often do women who are on the verge of 50 get chosen to be the sex object, to be the object of desire, to be the focus of the attention? And so I went to that show and I tossed Judge Turnbull around like he was a rag doll. And I had a blast. It was like a gateway drug. I wanted more. So I was in Paris alone on a winter evening with nothing to do. And that's always a little dangerous. And I discovered Gay Chuchotement, which is the big fetish club there, had its soirée dominée. I had a pair of leather boots in the bag and I threw them on and I went. And I felt it again, that sense of being the focus, of being the object of desire. And so I was going to be in Vancouver for a big statistics meeting. All my friends were going to be there. And I discovered the Vancouver Fetish Weekend was happening then. Coincidence or conspiracy, but I was going to the ball and I needed something to wear. So I went down to Deadly Couture, found something in a nice heavy latex, something with sleeves to hide the 50-year-old arm wobble. And I'm in the little change room putting it on and hauling the tits up because, of course, they're not gravity-defying anymore, and stealing myself because the mirror is out in the main room. And I get out, and it's that moment again where they were looking and liking, and it was exhilarating. So this guy, he was going to be Captain America. He had like a red-headed hottie on each arm. He obviously had a thing. He leans in and he goes, honey, you need to buy that dress. So my advice to you as a woman who's 52 and who's experienced invisibility from time to time, buy that fucking dress. Wear it to the ball. Go by yourself if you have to. And dance with men who are 30 years your junior. Your tits will fall out. And no one will mind. Because I sure don't. Thank you.
Yeah!
Song was Who's Laughing Now by Ava Max. Welcome to today's episode of Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by Uberlube. Are you making plans for all the sex when the world returns? I hear so many people talk about how we're going to enter the roaring 20s when it's safe to be out there again. If you're starting to think about a rich, active sex life, you need to be thinking about safe sex too, and that often means condoms. Here's an important question. Which lubricant is best for use with condoms? Should you go silicone, hybrid, water-based? Using lube with condoms means that you can minimize friction, which then reduces the risk of the condom breaking or rupturing. But figuring out the condom and lube formula feels like math. Who could track that stuff? Here's some good news. My favorite lube, Uberlube, is latex and polyisoprene condom compatible. And Uberlube doesn't get sticky when you're using it. It doesn't leave a sticky residue. In fact, it leaves you better than it found you because it feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. There's no flavor, no scent. It's body safe and it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. I love Uberlube and everyone I've introduced to it has raved about it too. So what are you waiting for? Well, here's even more incentive. Right now, they're offering Bawdy Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Uberlube offers you the long-lasting performance you want, then quickly dissipates without that sticky residue. So that math problem, safe with condoms, even for sensitive skin? Yeah, the answer is Uberlube. And remember, you get 10% off and free shipping when you use the code Dixie at uberlube.com. This has been Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by Uberlube. So all that butt plug ordering I was doing is because I'm beefing up my Patreon, and I really want you to be there. Do you ever wonder what you get from the Body Storytelling Patreon? If you sign up at the Friends with Benefits level, you get ad-free podcast episodes, and you get the live stream replay. Sign up at the Hookup, you're going to get free live stream tickets, the live stream replay, which only lives on our Patreon. You're going to get everything. You're going to get tons of stuff. Sign up for Confidant. You can join us for community, conversation, and problem solving to build a more sex-positive world and get laid. There's also the Butt Plug Club that I ordered the butt plugs for. And then if you sign up for Unicorn or Concierge, basically you get me. You get me. All you want. All you can eat. So sign up for our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/body. You know how to spell body. One day, we're going to be back to doing what we do. But in the meantime, Patreon has been our everything. Thanks in advance for your support. How exciting was it to have Margaret Cho on our last Body Storytelling live stream? I seriously fangirled. I embarrassed myself, but it was such a dream come true. And our next show is going to have somebody whose name you're probably going to recognize because you're a pervert. And you know these things. Our next live stream is going to be on Saturday, April 17th. It starts at 7 p.m. Pacific. And we have people who are setting their alarm clocks all over the world. They're setting their alarm clocks in Israel, in South Africa, in the UK, in Germany, so that they can join us and be there live. The live stream has exhibitionists. It has voyeurs. It has storytellers. It has a musical act. It has prizes. It has giveaways. It has furries. It has kinksters. It has drag queens. I hope one of those is going to be you, because I love it when you show up and you dress up. It really feels like you're at a live show when you come to the Body live stream. Lots of eye candy, lots of great stories, and as always, great music that's about sex, kink, or gender. So, this time, I'm very excited that I finally got Kate Sloan. You may know her from Girly Juice. You may know her from the Dill Dorks podcast, or maybe the Question Box podcast. She is talented. She's been watching the live stream repeatedly and messaging me to go, I think I want to do it. We just agreed. She just confirmed. So you're going to be able to hear Kate Sloan's first story for Body on Saturday, April 17th. Get your tickets as soon as possible. It really helps us if we can know who's planning to show up. There's a link to tickets in the show notes and a link to share the information with your friends. Social media is doing its damnedest to shut me down because I like to talk about the things they don't want us to talk about. But if you help me, they don't know you're dirty yet. So spread the word, share the links, tell your friends, and I'll see you on Saturday, April 17th. Well, that's all the time we have this week. But before we go, I want to say thank you to the team that make this podcast possible. Thank you to Mosa Maxwell-Smith, Donal Mooney, David Grossoff, Joe Moore, and most of all, to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 167 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.